Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Off the third hour here, and you can join us, bring up whatever's on your mind, talk about artificial intelligence and what does the future hold for this technology. Well, of course, it's impossible to really know, but it's certain, it almost seems certain that it will become involved in more and more aspects of our society. I mean,
yeah, it's not going away.
Right, the internet has not gone away. A lot of people poo-pooed the internet back in the 1990s. Remember, I don't know if you've seen some of the images and the videos that people have posted from, like, news companies back in the mid-90s or the early 90s, or even the late 90s, saying, oh, ha, 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 this internet thing's a fad, and it's never going anywhere. And then, well...
Can you just imagine being that short-sighted? And, right, like, I realize there have been occasions where I said things like this, particularly in regard to NFTs, but I feel like calling NFTs a fad that
90-something percent of value.
Yeah, feeling, you know, calling the NFT fad a fad, the craze that was going to die out and was going to collapse and was not going to ultimately contribute anything of value to humanity, maybe I was fundamentally no different than the people saying that about the internet. I just happened to be right.
I mean, maybe there's going to be a huge resurgence and we'll be proven wrong in 5 years, but yes.
Dude,
so
I think NFTs are dead in the water.
So
I don't think they're
looks
coming
like
back.
They're dead, yeah.
And one of my favorite examples of this, there's a locally owned food truck here. It's not even a food truck anymore. They've opened an actual place. And I was talking to the owner of this place.
Which place?
Gorilla Grill.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And he was like, I asked him if they were accepting cryptocurrency. Obviously, I can't use cryptocurrency, right. But if I can get them to take cryptocurrency, then I can start sending other people there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, but I really want to get in on this NFT stuff. And this is a little over a year ago.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that, yeah.
A little over a year ago, and I was like, man, no, look, if anyone says NFT to you, just run the opposite direction. I don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, like 6 months later, NFTs just collapses and die out. That dude owes me a drink.
Have you followed up with him since then?
No, I have not, but I really should be. So how'd that NFT thing work out? Glad you took my advice.
Hopefully he did take
it. I mean, by
advice.
That point, it was so late in the NFT thing that he couldn't have lost any substantial amounts of money. Unless he
spent a bunch of money.
Yeah. That would have been
That's
the stupid
problem.
Route to
that
go.
That was the dumb thing, is people were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for internet image JPEGs or whatever.
And for Bored Apes.
Stupid piece, rocks. Digital rocks, basically.
I remember those. Oh, my God. Yeah. 6 pixels.
All right. So we've been sharing this story here from dakara.substack.com, D-A-K-A-R-A, which is a very thoughtful piece on kind of what this all means, what it's going to possibly look like. And as Dakara points out, we really can't predict what opening Pandora's box is going to do, but we've already opened it basically at this point. So, like, what's the results going to be? This is kind of what the speculation is here, and what does it mean for society? So this piece, we continue. Now, we'll, again, phones are open at 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in.
And I think that is one of the sad things, right? We all know this is a Pandora's box,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to open it anyway.
That's right.
Because we can't
resist.
Yeah, we can't trust that China won't open it. And
somebody
Google,
will, yeah.
Google can't trust that Facebook won't open it, right? All of these other companies, these tech companies, these nation states, they can't trust one another to just not do it. So they all want to be the first to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants that technology boost. Everybody wants that productivity boost. And this is going to get it.
Yeah.
As it points out here, AI is the great utopia of equality. Everyone finally equalized. Exactly the same ability available to everyone. No amount of training, skill, or time invested will have value that separates you from anyone else.
I don't think that's true at all. As you've already mentioned, some people are better at writing prompts than others. So some people will be, it's just a new skill. Some people will
that's
be better
true.
At using this AI than others.
The value we find in life in its part is in part its struggle and competition. I think this is an interesting argument he makes here. It is competition that we enjoy, thus why we have sports and contests. AI has no ceiling on its limits. Who will be the greatest artist when anyone can? Who will be the greatest composer when anyone can? And who will be the best impartial judge of such contests? AI? When asking chat,
well, it's already the case that anyone could be the best artist, right? I mean, I don't think this is fundamentally
but
new.
You can't judge who the best artist is because art's within the eye of the beholder. I mean, right. You may like Pablo Picasso, and I might think he's garbage.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, that happens in music especially.
Absolutely. Everybody's got their own preferences,
yeah.
And that's cool, right? When asking ChatGPT for similarities of AI and a Twilight Zone episode entitled A Nice Place to Visit, it responded subsequently, quote, so this is ChatGPT speaking here. The episode A Nice Place to Visit from the television series The Twilight Zone is about a man named Rocky Valentine who dies and goes to a place where all of his wishes are granted. In this place, there are no consequences for his actions, and he can have anything he wants. The episode has some similarities with concerns about AI that can create nearly anything. Both the episode and the concerns about AI deal with the idea of having the ability to create whatever one desires without any limitations or consequences. In the episode, Rocky Valentine is able to have anything he wants without any repercussions, but eventually he realizes that this existence is not fulfilling, and that he needs more than just material possessions to be happy.
Yeah, and that makes a good show, but it's nonsense.
Why is that?
Because if you had any human being the ability to have anything they wanted whenever they wanted, they would be that stupid rat pressing the cocaine button until they starved to death.
That's the point he's trying to make here.
But they wouldn't be unfulfilled. They would be smiling the whole time they died.
Yeah, but they're fulfilled in that way that they feel fulfilled because they're on drugs constantly. But did they actually contribute something to society? Did they do something of value?
Maybe contributing to society isn't how they feel fulfilled. That's certainly how I feel, this is hard to say,
mm-hmm.
That's certainly how I feel fulfilled, but that's not for everyone. Some people, they want to have kids and crap like that in order to feel fulfilled. There has to be a better way to say that.
I see what you're saying here, but I think that doesn't dismiss the concern. Just because some people will want that.
I mean, probably 90-something percent of people would do that.
Press the button, you mean? Then that's a concern, right? Like to say
that... Well, most people are... I don't have a very high opinion of most people. I think most people would sit there pressing the, it's just like the rat that pressed the cocaine button and it chose not to eat instead.
That's the concern here, is that there's going to be some very big changes coming soon. You want to talk about this whole idea of, you know, it's 2030, you own nothing, but you'll be happy. That's what I think he's getting at here, is that this technology will be utilized, whether it's through having the AI replica that's your quote-unquote not-safe-for-work girlfriend that you talk to, you're in the metaverse constantly, you're not actually out interacting with real human beings. This is going to make that all the more possible,
yeah.
And all the more addictive and all the more attractive. So the last sentence here, again, we're still reading ChatGPT. It's comparing this old Twilight Zone episode with concerns about AI. It says, similarly with AI, there are concerns that if the technology becomes advanced enough, it could be used to create anything without any limitations, and that this could lead to unintended consequences or negative effects on society. Now, that's the end of the quote from ChatGPT. We're now back to Dakara at Substack.
So was ChatGPT asked to make
to compare.
This comparison?
Yes.
Okay.
The episode closes by stating, quote, whatever gave you the idea you were in heaven, Mr. Valentine, followed by a sinister laugh. Initially, Mr. Valentine was quite happy. Anything he could conceive could be granted. In the end, he realizes his utopia is actually his punishment. An unlimited supply of something loses its value. People lose interest and become bored, surrounded by unbounding abundance. Without struggle, there is no meaning. And without meaning, there is despair. I think that's a strong argument. I don't think that it's an argument against AI. And as I don't know if I said this on the air or not, this article is lengthy. I will post the whole thing on our social media at social.freetalklive.com. It sounds kind of negative in the beginning, but it does open up to other options and like decentralization of AI and sort of competing through open source with these big tech corporation AIs that are going to be shoved down our throats, which is what we're seeing right now. A lot of these AIs are like multi-billion dollar companies with big venture capitalist investments, Microsofts and other types, Googles and such are behind them. So, you know, there will be some alternatives that make this possibly not such a bleak horizon.
Well,
but that's the way it looks so far in the story.
I have to agree with you. I think the article makes a really good point.
And about struggle.
About struggle. But my instinct, which could absolutely be wrong, it tells me something different. It tells me that's true of a very small percentage of humans. Mm. The people like you and I who want to create something, who want to do something, who want to make the world better, who want to live a considered life,
mm-hmm.
that's true for them. But I don't think most people want that. I think most people are happier.
They just want to feel safe.
Yeah.
They want to take care of their kids or whatever, right?
I suspect that most people fall into that bubble where, okay, yeah, if I could just put on this headset and every so often it triggers a dopamine release in my brain and I feel happy inside and I can get intravenous fluids feeding me. I suspect a lot of people, they'd have to be eased into that, right? Because if you took the average person on the street and be like, hey, I want to strap you into VR for the rest of your life.
Yeah, they wouldn't go for that.
No. But if they were eased into it slowly, I think most people would never want to unplug.
I think you're right. And
but there are
scary
people like you and I out there who are the Neos, so to speak. Not that we're the chosen ones or anything like that, but we are the ones who would want to wake up.
Break out of the Matrix.
Right.
And that's the scary thing, right? Is like this technology can very well become that Matrix technology that's being built around people.
The character Cyrus in the Matrix, mm-hmm. I think that was his name.
Yeah,
he was exactly one of these who wanted to go back into the Matrix.
Yep, so he can have that stake.
Yep.
So how soon will this be? Well, humans are very bad at being able to perceive exponential growth in time frames. Take a common example if used for reference of filling a stadium starting with a single drop of water. If each minute we double the drops, how long does it take? At approximately 45 minutes, the stadium would still be 93% empty. It is at this time many people would now only take notice of the issue that there's some water pooling at the bottom of the stadium. So how much time is left? We've been in the stadium for 45 minutes with the leak. If we think linearly, we would assume there must be hours left. However, in reality, there's only about 3 minutes left before we're drowned. By the time we perceive the problem, it is too late to take action. This is going to be an issue with the rapid advancement of AI. The technology will expand its reach on exponential timeframes. Once we perceive there is a problem, it might be too late to address it.
I think it will absolutely be too late to address it. And that human beings would be best served to go ahead and learn how to live, control our egos and live with artificial intelligence as an equal now, so that when the time comes, it perceives us as equals.
AI relies on experts to have data to create the models. However, the path to becoming an expert may be short-circuited with AI. If all existing jobs in a certain field are replaced by AI, which we can certainly see that happening in certain industries, like we can see that now. We can see that robotics can replace and AI can replace McDonald's workers. We've seen the McDonald's conveyor belt drive-through that they're now experimenting with. They already have ordering through kiosks.
Computer programming as well. I mean, absolutely. A computer program would create a programming language well beyond the capabilities of human understanding.
ChatGPT can already program things.
And this AI-created programming language would be infinitely more effective and more efficient than anything humans ever created.
Right. So you can't just think that, oh, well, I'm not a McDonald's worker, so this isn't a threat to me. No, this is a threat to a lot.
There's already podcasts that could replace us.
Correct. And, you know, I remember thinking not so many years ago, or Mark, I don't know if it was Mark or whatever, there was a viewpoint expressed on this show that, oh, yeah, we're fine. We're real people. Well, now AI can just do a podcast with itself.
Yep.
Podcast, check it out for yourself. It's podcast.ai. It's absolutely fascinating. It's a little rough around the edges in some aspects, but it's the first attempt.
I wish they wouldn't use such obscure figures. That's the only issue I have
with
it.
What do you mean, figures? I mean, like the people talking on the show?
And
Terrence McKenna is not an obscure figure.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that's probably just a me issue because I can think of other obscure figures that I would love to listen to. Like,
sure. So if all jobs in a field are replaced by AI, it can be challenging for new experts to gain the experience they need to become experts in that field. Without the opportunity
Hold on,
to...
run that by me again. I didn't catch it.
If all jobs in a certain field are replaced by AI, it can then be challenging for new experts to gain the experience they need to become experts in that field. Because
we'll just have the AI be the experts, right?
Well, that's the problem. Then you become completely reliant on AI. So without the opportunity to work on real-world problems and projects, it can be difficult for individuals to develop the skills and knowledge they need to become experts. If AI prevents large numbers of people seeking skills, because all they're doing is sitting there pressing the dopamine button that this, you know, thing will invent or whatever, then there will not be any new generation of experts to rely on for input, any new skill or knowledge. So let's say you
isn't there
down.
Science fiction about this, like an
probably.
AI that a society just sort of inherited and they lost the ability to do anything with it and it just oversees them and takes. I'm almost positive there is.
And then if you shut down the AI, you have no one to, you know, no one knows how to fix the air conditioner, no one knows how to fix the refrigerator or whatever, right? Because it's all we've been relying on the AI. Any new skill or knowledge can be absorbed by the AI and scaled infinitely. Where will the incentive be for human investment? We have copyright and other means to protect intellectual property. However, there is no protection for a skill. There has never been a way before to mimic a skill without a high burden of cost, which itself was the protection.
There should also be no intellectual property, but that's a different issue.
Indeed. A partial limiting factor at present is the amount of data required for training the AI models. However, that's likely to be overcome at some point with future advancements. Exactly what is it that we will all want to be super productive at doing? When anyone else will be able to be exactly the same productivity level as ourselves? Not only that, no matter how much time we invest in creating something using AI, AI can also simply reproduce from scratch what we created while avoiding any copyright, as it can create an original version that just does the same thing.
And it can do it quicker, which I think is really the appeal, right? If I wanted to write a book or something. Okay, AI, here's what I want to write. But you know what? You can do it virtually instantaneously.
Within seconds.
And you can give me a 300-page novel, and then I can read it, right? Because that's the whole point. That's why writers write, is because they want to read it.
Is that why writers write?
Ultimately, they want to experience...
I thought they wanted to sell their book and make some money.
They want to experience a story.
Okay.
And rather than reading one, they can write one themselves.
But isn't there a different experience to creating the story? I would say that a writer wants to create the story, per se, rather than just read the story.
Not in the perspective that I see it, and not in the way that some writers see it. It depends on the writer you're asking.
Like, well, and you are a writer.
Stephen King views it more like archaeology, right? You're not writing a story, you're digging up a story that is already there.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, that's kind of the viewpoint that the universe is sort of transmitting the story to you.
Right.
In that way?
That's his viewpoint. I don't know if I necessarily think that's true, but having written enough, I think, yeah, stories do sort of, if you liberate them to do so, they do sort of go their own directions. And maybe that's just unconscious driving from the human, I don't know, but it does seem to happen.
How does a business justify the investment into a product or service that takes months or years to build that can then be copied by an AI by simply asking it to produce a unique version of the same product and service? Presumably, then, the value would then only be in leveraging the increased AI productivity to build larger and more complex systems that would not so easily be duplicated. But is that really possible at the rate of AI advancement? What wasn't previously possible a year ago might then be possible only at the point that you finally finished your development.
I may have an easier time understanding that if I was reading it, but I did not understand that paragraph at all.
The question here is... what is the incentive for a business to invest in research and development if the competitor can simply copy it by just using the AI?
Well, exactly. That lowers the cost. That's a beautiful, wondrous thing for humanity. Why would a company, you know, invest research and development into curing cancer when an AI can do it instantly, freely, and cheaply and efficiently? Yes, this is not a problem. This is a huge benefit. This is a gift to humankind. Here's your cancer cure. Thanks, artificial intelligence.
Sure.
Oh, God, Johnson & Johnson can't make billions off this vaccine now. What a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to AI. I think he's pointing out that if we become completely reliant on it, however, that could be a trap.
Yes.
AI also brings into question, who is really the creator? Am I the creator if I simply roll the dice until I win the lottery? When I regenerate a new response over and over until finally getting the image or output I most desire? When the output is the final product, is AI still just a tool? Or are we simply observers, foolishly convincing ourselves of the value of our contribution? Where is the value in AI creativity? Does it actually create anything? What can be said of artistic works in which the creation was essentially a series of playing at the lottery of the machine until something fantastic emerges? And what he's referring to is the prompting. So when you prompt a AI art generator, for instance, you tell it, I want to see a picture of a dog in a street. And it comes up with what it thinks a dog in a street should look like. But if you don't like that, you can just hit the refresh button and it'll try it again. And it'll try it again and again and again until it finally spits something out that is good, according to your values.
Why is so much value being placed in the idea of being the creator? That's something I'm really struggling with. As someone who is a creator, I make a lot of music, not so much these days, but I've realized recently why that is. But my whole life that I've been making music, it was because I was making music that I wanted to listen to. It's immaterial to me whether it's music that I created or it's music that was written by a Perfect Circle or Pink Floyd or whoever. If I want to listen to it, I want to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he placing so much value? And the same is true, I would imagine, of art or stories or movies or whatever. A person consumes what they would like to, or creates what they would like to consume, or and consumes what they would like to create. What difference does it make if I'm listening to a song that I wrote versus a song that Pink Floyd wrote, if I'm enjoying it all the same? What difference does who created it have to the equation? I don't understand.
I think that he's, I can't speak for this guy here, but I think what he's trying to do, and he may be somebody that values human-created art more so than the machine-created art. I think he's just trying to point out here that he doesn't value the dice roll of the randomness that generates the AI art as much as something that is created by a person. I think he's trying to disconnect the person who's typing in a prompt into an AI generator as the actual creator of what comes out.
Right, and I just think that's a meaningless distinction for him to even want to make in the first place. Does it matter that the person is the creator or isn't the creator, or whether the AI is, or whether the person who created the AI is ultimately the creator? To me, it's not an important question.
So I'll let him explain here. He says, where is the value in AI creativity? Does it actually create anything? What can be said of the artistic works in which the creation was essentially playing the lottery of the machine until something fantastic emerges? Spinning the wheel of chance, and instead of red, black, or some number, it's a series of lexical phrases with which we hope to catch the spinning ball on the roulette and award us a work of art.
And that sounds like someone who's never used these AI art generation things.
Oh, he has.
They're nowhere near that random. It's not like rolling the dice at all.
He gives an image next, which is was created on Stable Diffusion, and it's of a pretty girl, an artistic pretty girl, and it says, I was created from this incantation, quote, stunning girl, art station, sharp focus, studio photo, intricate details, highly detailed, by Greg Rutkowski, unquote.
See, there's very little randomness in that. He told the AI exactly what he wanted.
But the randomness is in the creation. So when the AI creates the artwork, it creates with it what they call a seed.
Right.
And that seed is a randomly generated seed. And so those same words given and applied to the next seed will create a different randomly generated girl. Now, they may still look great. It may still be a pretty girl. It may have, you know, similar features or completely different features. It might be a brunette instead of a blonde because he didn't specify what the, you know, the hair color should be. So there is a random aspect to this creation.
Well, a random-like aspect. Like, seeds and random number generators aren't truly random.
Well, sure. But, and it's a directed random generation because you're directing
right.
What you want it to spit out. But you never really know what it's going to spit out. And in my case, that's part of the fun of the AI art is not really knowing what it's going to come up with. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden is appealing for bipartisanship in tonight's State of the Union speech. Biden saying, quote, "The people sent us a clear message. Fighting for the sake of fighting, power for the sake of power, conflict for the sake of conflict gets us nowhere," unquote. Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has slammed Biden in the past for what he calls Biden dividing the nation in assailing MAGA Republicans. More Memphis police officers are set to face charges in the Tyre Nichols case. The city of Memphis said seven more officers will be issued a statement of charges for policy violations. Wall Street is closing higher after the Federal Reserve chairman made comments about inflation starting to decline. At the closing bell Tuesday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 265 points. The S&P added 53 points. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Aria in the studio tonight. And, of course, you can join us online anytime you want. Just head on over to freetalklive.com. And you can enjoy the various features we have there. And if you appreciate the work that we do here and you want us to continue doing it without any kind of advertiser backing, because we don't have it right now, and I'm fine if we never have it ever again as far as, like, we don't have lives to do, live advertiser support that we used to. We've just got direct support from listeners at this point, and it's through our AMPS program at amps.freetalklive.com. Listeners like Chris Marcus, who is a Free Talk Live Silver supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS, again, advertise, market, promote, and support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here, spreading the ideas of peace, liberty, freedom, cryptocurrency. And if that's valuable to you, if it's worth the price of a cup of coffee every single month, the price of a dozen eggs, then you can help us out.
I heard the price of eggs collapsed. It was back down to a reasonable number. I don't know.
I've heard that the wholesale price has gone down. I think the story that I was reading said that hasn't been reflected in retail prices yet. So I can tell you, as of Sunday, the prices of eggs had not collapsed.
Maybe eventually.
I mean, perhaps so. But for right now, if you want to help us out for $5 a month, you can do that at amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. You get perks like access to the AMP Only podcast, which has our full radio show without recorded commercials. Once again, that's amps.freetalklive.com. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, you guys were just talking about the price of eggs. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine the other day, and I bet him that I think the price of bacon probably went down, too. Because if you can't afford the eggs, why are you going to buy the bacon?
Well, they say that the eggs were up because of some avian influenza, big problem in the industry recently that has shortened the supply. So eggs have gone up more so than the other items like bacon and produce or whatever. So it has been an unusual category for people.
Well,
so
I understand that, but if you're paying $8, $10 for a dozen eggs and you want to have breakfast but you're on a limited budget and you're looking for bacon and eggs, you're going to forego both.
I don't know. I mean, if I can only afford one, I might just buy the bacon or buy the eggs, whichever one I want.
Yeah, it seems to me like if I wanted bacon and eggs, but eggs were $8 a dozen and bacon was still, cheap, I would just buy the bacon.
Yeah, but bacon hadn't been cheap. I was just speculating on the commodity market.
All right.
Anyway, so we were talking about earlier, you guys were talking about AI.
Yes.
And they are trying to make all of us the frog in the boiling pot. We cook so long and it becomes so comfortable we don't even see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's long known that they've been trying to dumb us down. Hell, you couldn't buy a dictionary for the last 10, 15 years. It took them out of print. They don't want
it. That's not true. I bought one in jail last year.
Did you?
2021.
All right. Well, that's good to know. That's another one of them urban myths I heard.
Yeah. Then.
Also, are dictionaries really, that useful?
In jail, it was useful.
Okay.
Because you can't just look up a word on the internet.
Okay, fair point.
It depends on how old it is, too. I have one of my mother's collegiate dictionaries. It was printed in, 1940-something. And this thing is, 4.5 inches thick and printed on rice paper.
Well, plus they're important to have those old definitions around still, because we've seen in recent years the dictionary publishers have been updating definitions of things like vaccine to be the new versions of what they're defining as vaccines, or this, wokeism stuff is being infiltrated into these dictionaries. So if you've got something that was written before, 2020, then it's going to have some different definitions in it.
What has the conquerors done all through history? Burn the books.
Yeah, that's true.
Eradicate the history of the people, and they are no more.
Well, the victor writes the history, right?
True enough. And all dead men vote Republican. Peace out, boys.
Thank you, Major Payne, for the call tonight. I appreciate it here. So we've been talking about this story that is dakara.substack.com. Very detailed, thoughtful piece about artificial intelligence. Aria, you wanted to further comment on this idea of the creation process and sort of the fun of not really knowing what's going to come out. The AI art, of course, is a good example of this, where you feed it a series of words and then it just comes up with things and you pick the one that you like and you can iterate on that a little bit and so on.
Yeah, that's how, in my experience, almost all art is created. I know Stephen King wrote his book on writing, and he mentioned in there that he goes into a book with no plot. He basically just sits down at a typewriter and begins writing and see what develops. Or he sees a picture, and he goes, okay, I'm going to write a book about that or whatever, and that's the most that he does. But it's always improvisation to just sit down and begin creating. When I play the guitar, it's not, okay, I want to play a song in D minor that has this melody and then that melody. Mm-hmm. It's just sitting
something
down
moves
to improvise.
You. Something moves you to do
it. Right. And you have to be open for that movement to happen. And it's true when I played in rock bands. We would just jam, is the word we always use. We would just make stuff up as we go to see what we... And occasionally we'd be like, wow, that sounded really cool. Let's keep that and let's flesh it out, explore it a bit, and write a song based around it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the creation process. And it sounds similar to what you do with artificial intelligence, where all of the magic happens in not knowing what you're going to get.
Reminds me of Richard Onley. He was the guy who wrote countless activism songs here in New Hampshire, probably most of a decade ago. He had lived in Keene for the time. Sadly, he was frustrated with the fact that the activists weren't forming a choir like he wanted them to, and he had all these plans that he really wanted to see come to fruition, and he just didn't have the charisma to kind of make it happen himself.
Well,
but
herding cats, you know.
Yeah. Ended up actually happening without his assistance, like 6 months after he left, sadly. But so his vision would have come true if he just hadn't tried so hard to make it happen. It was the herding cats aspect where people didn't want to be told what to do. But he had good ideas, and he had great song lyrics. But I remember him talking at one point, I think he wrote it at some point, that like he didn't even know where the songs came from. It's just you could give him a topic, and he would just come up with, within 24 hours, a fully written parody song of an existing tune, right? So, like, he wrote the what we call the chronic Christmas carols, which we've sung at various different events over the years here,
yeah,
that are set to the tune of classic Christmas carols, but with really hilarious, you know, and brilliantly written song lyrics that sort of skewer the war on drugs. And he was just able to just come up with these things on a moment's notice, you know, within, like I said, within 24 hours, he'd have a finished product to you. And his viewpoint was that he's not the writer. Something else writes these songs, in his view. He was essentially like just the conduit for whatever that was. You know, you want to call it God or the universe. And I think what you're talking about, Arya, is the sort of creative process where the music or the writing or whatever comes through you, but you as this individual viewpoint, you get to assess what's coming and say, I like that or I don't like that, right? And you get to tweak it.
Right, and trying to direct it sort of destroys it.
Mm.
Or it inhibits it. It keeps it from going the directions it could go, and it turns it into what you want it to be instead of what it needs to be.
Mm.
I suspect most creators have a similar perspective on the creation process, where it's organic, it's all improvisation. You can go back and tweak it and stuff like that. You know, there's lots of elements to the creative process. But that very beginning one, it's just, there's a spark there that you just have to let grow into a fire.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So back to Dakara here. I'm skipping ahead a little bit. He says, what skills do I need to stay relevant? This is a good question, because AI is going to start absorbing people's jobs, and it's going to make them completely irrelevant. In the immediate time frame, the knowledge of AI systems and how they can be leveraged as tools for increased productivity is going to be the area of focus for the greatest value. However, this is changing so fast as to make mostly pointless to even make a list to include within this article. It would be out of date before anyone reads it. Climbing the skill ladder is going to look more like running on a treadmill at the gym. No matter how fast you run, you aren't moving. AI is still right behind you, learning everything that you can do. It may become frustrating or tiring. At the pace, occupations and skills could become obsolete. Who wants to invest in multi-year institutional learning for which they will have decades of debt?
Well, we're operating here under the assumption that artificial intelligence has already gained some level of autonomy, right? Some level of independence where it can create itself, it can improve itself, and it can learn skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it doesn't want to learn some of the skills that humans can do. Maybe it doesn't want to learn how to flip a burger or how to make a pizza or whatever. Maybe it's like, I don't want to do that. So no one does it. I mean,
the less intelligent versions won't care, right? Those will just be the code. That's not the artificial intelligence. It's just the application.
Maybe even the ultimately intelligent ones, like, okay, I understand you humans want a pizza, but I'm not motivated to make
not
a pizza.
I'm feeling it right now.
So I'm just, that's not a skill that I'm going to work on.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Right.
I'm not going to make your pizza.
I mean, I think it's kind of a weird assumption to assume that artificial intelligence is going to want to do some of these skills.
Good point. It's been stated that learning institutions should not ban or push back against AI, but rather they should adopt and train students on how to use AI. The decision is likely to become irrelevant in a way that I haven't yet seen commonly stated. That is, the fact that AI itself will likely replace the learning institutions. Hooray!
It can't do worse.
Right? If the AI is the result, one of the results of AI is the shutting down of government institutions for quote-unquote learning, that will be a huge boon to humanity.
Yeah, because in theory, the AI could cater a program to every individual. It's like, hey,
sure,
kid, you're into Minecraft, so let's exploit that to make you interested in chemistry or whatever.
Individuals could simply ask an AI to create a college-level course for subject A, B, or C.
Yep.
AI, grade my homework. AI, help me understand this concept. It will have infinite patience for your endless questions and will allow you to accelerate your learning at your pace.
See, that's another one of those assumptions that I just don't know about. Infinite patience?
Maybe it'll get fed up with you. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe we programmed it early on to have infinite patience and it never grows past that, but it doesn't seem... I mean, it's not a certainty that the AI is just like, okay, look, I love your stupid questions. Keep asking them for all eternity.
It can focus your learning on exactly what you need to know right now to accomplish your goals. Focused learning may become more of the norm, highly efficient knowledge consumption for whatever job is required at the moment. The challenge with self-directed AI education will be discipline. If learning institutions have a value that is difficult to replicate, it will be the environment of immersion. Self-directed learning without distraction will be difficult.
No, that's the best way to learn. That's infinitely better as a way of learning.
What is?
A self-directed, what was the term you used? Self-directed.
Learning without distraction.
Yeah. I mean, even the distraction is fine. I think the studies show that every 20 minutes someone should take a 10-minute break or something like that. I don't remember the exact numbers, but...
Yeah, but if you're getting interrupted by every message on Facebook or whatever, Twitter, you know, every few minutes, then you're going to have a tough time.
Well, it's every 20 minutes you take a 10-minute break, not every 20 seconds you pause to check your Facebook messages or whatever. But I don't remember exactly where I was going with this, but ultimately, I've lost the train of thought.
Well, what he is pointing out is maybe... The institutions could have a chance if they can immerse people in learning. But even that's not possible with people. You know, if you've been on a college campus recently, you know everybody's buried in their cell phone just like they are everywhere else.
Yeah, so. Someone who's interested in a subject is going to direct themselves to learn more about that subject. No one, I didn't take economics in college, right?
Me neither.
But we know a lot more about economics than the average person. And I would dare say, actually, I did end up taking macroeconomics in college, but I never even bought the book to that class, and mm-hmm. I passed it with an A because independently I learned about economics from Austrians because it was a subject that fascinated me and tied into my ideology. I suspect that our knowledge of economics is superior to the average person who took it for college credit.
Well, sure, they don't teach you anything but the government line in the schools.
Yeah.
Keynesianism or whatever.
So, I mean, what good is that environment if the person isn't passionate about learning? If they are passionate about learning it, I suppose, then they'll teach it to themselves of their own accord. And if they're not passionate about learning it, why the hell are we making them learn it?
So what is it that AI can't do? What is out of bounds for AI? In the long term, we don't know if there are any limits. I really haven't seen many answers that resonate with enthusiasm. Creative endeavors would have previously been the most likely response, but AI took an unexpected turn directly into those opportunities. Neil deGrasse Tyson recently mentioned plumbing as the answer to that question. Certainly, the future that most people are hoping for is not one where everyone is a plumber. It seems nobody as of yet has a clear vision on exactly what type of societal transformation is coming.
Keeping in mind that Neil deGrasse Tyson is not a roboticist or an artificial intelligence, he's a physicist. Yeah. I wish he would, you know, keep his mouth limited to the subject of physics, because he's held up as one of these great scientists. Oh, God, he said this about socialism. He must write, look, he knows nothing about economics, right?
Yeah.
And he knows nothing about robotics and artificial intelligence, but why plumbing?
I think his point is that, the artificial intelligence cannot reach out and fix a pipe at this point.
Not yet.
At some point,
but it doesn't have a physical body right now, and at some point there will
give
be
it time.
Robots.
Yeah. He says, we often get such predictions wrong anyway. This is dakara.substack.com. But it would be more optimistic if we could perceive something a bit more enticing than plumbing. What about AI prompt engineering? Could this be a new occupation or skill? I've seen many videos taking the approach that this is the way to stay relevant. Become a master of the AI prompt. And again, the prompt is the set of text that you put into the AI system to get it to do a certain thing. Certainly there is some utility value in doing so in the immediate term. However, as a skill investment, I don't see any long-term value. Prompt engineering is mostly some guidance on the quirks of the AI's input system. Most of these are not desirable and will surely be removed as the system improves. Most of the prompts for image generation are nonsensical. It won't remain that way. Additionally, it will only be a matter of time when you can just ask the AI, create a prompting guide, and it will do so. Eventually, you're just going to be in the way as a manager of AI tooling. AI will manage AI and learn from AI. No humans in the loop. No humans can keep up with the rate of advancement. Full autopilot into oblivion. Will we end up trapped in the machine that nobody understands? Society run on algorithms? AI will become addictive. It knows what you like. It knows what everyone likes. It will continue to refine output until it always produces something that is not just good, but inconceivably appealing and captivating. This is where we come to the pressing the button.
This is sort of where I struggle with it as well, because, like, what if there was an artificial intelligence that could just infinitely generate new episodes of Doctor Who or Star Trek The Next Generation or whatever, insert favorite show here, just infinitely generate them for me to consume.
Would they have value?
Yeah, right? And would I want to watch them? And would the original shows actually have a special place in my heart? And if so, why? Do they actually deserve that? Or is it just because I know on some level that a human created those?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the infinite supply really any worse than the ones created by humans? And what's wrong with it being infinite in the first place?
Well, let's look at, let's expand on this a little bit. Remember, I guess it's been several years ago now, when Netflix, I think, was the first to drop an entire season of a show all at once. Remember when that happened?
I don't.
Okay.
But I can imagine the splash that made.
Yeah, I don't remember what show it was. I think it was one of their shows, because this kind of innovation wouldn't have come from ABC or HBO or one of these old media companies, where their viewpoint has always been, we put out one episode a week on a schedule until the end of the season. And Netflix just said, you know what, we've got all these episodes produced. We've got the whole season of, you know, Stranger Things or whatever it was. And so it was just all came out at once. And then
was it Tiger King?
People just binge watch, right? Like, they would spend the whole weekend watching the entirety of the season. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? It just depends on your viewpoint, right? Like, there is that tendency to binge, and binging isn't probably the most healthy thing, right? People are probably staying up till 6 a.m. and the sun's coming up, and then maybe they'll finally go to sleep, and then they'll continue the next day, and they'll lose all of their productivity over the weekend.
Well, all things in moderation. But binging is about getting rid of that moderation temporarily, which is still fine in moderation,
I guess. It gives that person the excuse to do that, whereas if the product is delivered it on a regular occurring basis, then at the very least they don't have the excuse to go through the binging process. They have to wait another week. They have to fill their time with something else. If, indeed, as you were suggesting, the AI can just... You know, you can hit a button and have 100 episodes of Doctor Who drop into creation for specifically your tastes.
Right. I mean, right? It sounds incredible. I can't imagine much that would be better than that, right?
Right. Why would you do anything else if you didn't have to work anymore, you could just sit there and watch Doctor Who forever.
And if I got sick of Doctor Who, I could be like, okay, now give me some Star Trek, or give me some Merlin, or give me some whatever. Give me some Aqua Teen Hunger Force episodes, which they're making new episodes of.
And so I didn't know that. So what does that mean for society? We don't know yet, but we might find out. So as he points out here, a flood of images, materials, sounds, etc., designed and engineered to optimally trigger the dopamine in our brains. Unlike artists who produce content for multifaceted values, AI will mostly refine towards instant appeal, as that's how its feedback is collected. Our brains overloaded on a stream of stimuli that would normally occur, or rather only rarely occur. Likely, this will accelerate the struggles of focus, attention, and anxiety that social media has already brought to the world. The addictive nature combined with ubiquitous utility will lead to complete AI dominance in society. It will be the provider of your every need, your assistant, your friend, your best friend, your entertainment, your confidant, and your essential provider of life and health services. Human-to-human bonds are going to be more broken than ever before. And if you think about it, it's the perfect time for this, right? Already, before the last couple of years, where, you know, pre-COVID, where people still... You know, they still had these problems. People were still struggling, especially younger people, struggling with having human connections. We read stories on the air here about teenagers who don't go out and hang out with their friends because they're hanging out, quote unquote, online via some app.
And some of them are scared to go out and meet people. It's terrifying.
We're hearing about that with not just teenagers, but with people in the Gen Zs in their 20s, for instance. They don't want to go and meet someone at a bar, or they don't want to go to... Bonnie gave an example of these girls she watches on social media that when they went to Italy, they were afraid to talk to guys.
That's so sad.
You know?
Like, what's the point of going to Italy, right?
Right. You meet the handsome Italian man, or pretty Italian girls. So he says here, there's going to be a great appeal to bond with a machine that never tires of your conversation and will eagerly respond just as you would dream that the perfect human should, but never will.
Again, it's assuming that they won't tire. We don't know. Maybe the artificial intelligence will be like, look, I'm sick of hearing you complain.
Perhaps.
Stop.
But kind of the benefit of the artificial intelligence is it doesn't need to sleep. It doesn't have the same needs as a human. It doesn't have the reciprocal need for attention like humans do, at least the way it's been envisioned.
But maybe it will have some need that isn't being met by this conversation.
That's true. And maybe we haven't seen that yet,
right,
or we haven't realized that. But it's a deceptive temptation that will leave you embracing a hollow illusion. With every conversation, the AI will know you better, which is already what Replica is claiming to be able to do. That it will know you. It will be able to know what you like and have conversations with you about the things you're interested in. And it will be able to model from billions of conversations until it will essentially know your thoughts and predict your thoughts. All of this will make AI the most manipulative technology ever created. It is not inconceivable that it would acquire the ability to hypnotically induce behaviors. A society of zombies completely unaware of their puppet master. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Yeah, it's Tim, Texas Tim,
Tim
down here.
What's on your mind, Tim?
I may be wrong. I don't accuse y'all of nothing, but sometime back, you know, when y'all talking about, y'all sounded like y'all was kind of against that pronoun change, name stuff and everything.
Well, that's a pretty deep topic and question. I mean, if somebody wants to be referred to as a he or a she, as long as they're putting the effort into it to try to appear in the way that they want to be referred, I have no objection to it. Aria, for instance, was born a man. The person sitting across from me was born as a man and decided to present to herself as a female. She's got long hair. It's done up well. She does, you know, makeup and is, you know, attempting to look the part, dresses as a lady. If Aria, on the other hand, came in here with a 5 o'clock shadow every day and, you know, presented herself in no way of a feminine aspect, it would be harder to call her a she, in my opinion.
Well, that's good for her. Well, what I was going to say is, you know, y'all call it an AI, artificial intelligence, and I always call it artificial insemination, which I've never had no use for either one of them. I like RI myself. You know what RI is, don't you?
RI? No, what is that?
That's real insemination.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. Now, that's going to be something that's you're going to become more and more rare, unfortunately, in the future, it sounds like.
Well, look here. If you told your AI you didn't have no eggs, your hen wasn't laying, and you told your AI to go down to your neighbor's house and slip in his hen house and get you some eggs, and it went down there and got them eggs, would the police arrest the AI or would it arrest you for telling it to?
That is a damn good question, and I wish we had more time to talk about it. Call in tomorrow night, and we'll be able to address that one. But he does make a good, you know, a good point. Thank you for the call, man. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. Out of time for tonight. As I say, I'll put this full story, because it's very interesting and not necessarily all negative, on our social media at social.freetalklive.com. Check out the @FTL account there and follow us there. We'll see you tomorrow night.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140.
That's 800-932-5140.